episode 14 of The Well Podcast. On this one, I got to spend a few hours with Dr. Vanessa Creven, co-founder of Spotlight Oral Care. Vanessa and her sister, Lisa Creven, are both dentists from Galway in Ireland. They found an untouched area of the oral care market and have developed a collection of clean, non-toxic, environmentally friendly products that make us look good on the outside, but are also good for our teeth and gums too. In this podcast, Vanessa takes us back in time to the launch of their well-known teeth whitening kit, which became a social media sensation. This product started out as something that they wanted to offer their patients, but the demand began to snowball and more retailers requested their product. Fast forward 3 years later, and Vanessa, still only 28 years of age, announced that herself and Lisa have just signed with 1,000 Ulta stores across America. It's a true pinch-me moment for a company that's based in Galway. This episode is not only an intriguing success story from two very smart sisters, but Vanessa also shines a light on some truth about popular oral care products on the market and the harsh reality of what many consumers are putting in their mouth. It was a real eye-opener for me. This episode is the epitome of what this podcast means to me, a success story that has stemmed from pure resilience and passion. Thanks for listening, and be sure to let me know what you think. I want to make sure that they know that, like, you did something different. Like, there's not a lot of 28-year-olds who are sitting here telling me that you just signed with Ulta. Like, how do you get that? Where does that come about? And you've put your hard work into it, and you know, you have to share that with people, and you know, your ideas or your persistence and all that. You just don't get like that overnight.
And
you know?
One thing I always say as well that is, like, you know, you look at something, and we're very much in the, like, in the era of, you know, Instagram and, like, fake reality, in that, like, you know, there's sacrifice and work and grit that comes with running a company like Spotlight, or like running any company, or setting anything up, or like moving to New York, or like pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, and there's like a sacrifice to that, but then you have to think of, like, obviously, you know, what you're trying to do, where you're trying to go. I think that's always, like,
that is,
you know,
that, that's the truth, but it's it's definitely the truth. And I think when the people see someone like yourself, a 28-year-old girl, you know, they're probably like, oh, maybe she was given the business, or maybe she was, like, you know.
Or maybe she was, like, born into money, and then she had this, like, so, like, it was, like, loss-making from the start. Like, you know, we're, like, we're from a farm, like, so, like, we're not born into money.
So take me back to, what did you study in college?
Dentistry.
Dentistry.
So we're dentists.
Yeah, I knew you guys were dentists, but if you had have gone off on a different path beforehand.
And you're right, because a lot of people don't realise, they're like, how do people actually become dentists? Or do they do, like, some people ask, do they do medicine first or whatnot?
Yeah.
So it's just pure dentistry in Trinity.
Dentistry. And you knew that you wanted to do dentistry?
Oh, like,
did you?
No.
Okay. You're giving me love, being like, Jesus.
No, as in no. And like, that's always a point. Like, I think you stumble into careers.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, I think that, you know, I always liked science, and I always kind of liked healthcare. And I liked dentistry in that, like, you have a lot of autonomy over your own job, so you very much work for yourself. Like, all dentists work for themselves, essentially.
Yeah.
And you have, like, you know, responsibility over your own work process.
Yeah.
And I always liked that, because I was always aware of, like, big companies and, like, structures and, like, limitations in big companies. So, like, I never liked that.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you're 17, you pick a career, like, is then why did you pick dentistry? Sometimes, like, you think you pick it because, like, you're like, oh, I have enough points, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like going into a shop and buying something.
How many points was it in the leaving at the time?
A 570.
Oh, my God.
I know. Like, but, like, then, like, it's just, like, that's
and did you get, like, 590 or, like...
590, yeah. But, like, as in, that literally, I was like, my sister laughs because, like, I can barely speak the English language. Like, I'm, like, nodding. But, like, as in, like, I got, like, 99% because it's, like, everything's learned off. It's, like, it's, like, rhetoric.
Right,
know?
It's academically
it's just,
intelligent.
Like, it's just work. It's, like, saying grit. It's work.
Yeah.
It's not, like, we're definitely not, you know, I wouldn't be, like, you know, as in...
Is it a valid, like, assessment of your actual ability to be a dentist?
I would say not really. Yeah, we're rolling, yeah.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, keep going.
Oh my God.
I was going to ease into it, but you were...
Oh my God, okay. So no, I don't... Like, in a way, I think, yeah, like, as in, the Leaving Cert is... It's like, you know, it's absolutely not the most honest way that, you know, and the most fair way that we can, you know, judge someone's intellect or whatnot.
Yeah.
But I think in this day and age and in this modern way, that, you know, if you don't get the points, say, like, you know, immediately, you can always go back and do something else. Like,
yeah.
You could do science. So my brother's a dentist as well. So we're all dentists. Like,
jeez.
I have four, seven, three
and
siblings.
Your parents?
No. So
okay.
My dad's, like, a farmer. And, like, my mum's an S&A teacher. So my dad was an engineer as well. So he kind of did a few different things. But, you know, my brother was an engineer first. And then he went back and did dentistry. So loads of people do that. Do you know?
So you did dentistry in school and you were 17, or in college and you're 17, and then you're trying to get your first job as a dentist or a dental assistant.
Yeah.
So
you start straight out. So you do 5 years in dentistry and you're a dentist.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the good and the bad with that is that you're a dentist straight out of college.
Right.
So you could be a dentist straight out of college, or you could be a dentist for 20 years and technically you've the same profession, which is in any other field, that's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I did a junior house officer in the dental hospital. So that's very much like public health work. So it's basically like you're like a brand new dentist, but you study different aspects of like specialties. So like you were talking about getting your wisdom teeth taken out, that's like oral surgery. So you would do that for like a couple of months. Then you would do, you know, children's dental health for a couple of months. You would do like oral medicine, so it's like ulcers and oral cancer for a couple of months. You would do like extractions and for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great like overall way to like improve your skills. Great way to like learn in a hospital setting, like how to talk to patients. Because I think a lot of dentistry is just like interaction with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going in, and if you imagine a patient, they're coming into it, like no one likes coming to the dentist, and they're coming in and they have these like barriers up, they're frightened, they're like not happy to be here, you know, they're kind of looking at you and they're like, God, she's judging me, like, so that is actually the biggest part of dentistry. It's never the work is actually really easy. It's getting that patient to kind of come around to your way of thinking. You know.
Yeah. And so how long did you practice before thinking of even, like, how did you think of starting a product?
So we launched Spotlight, and we were thinking about Spotlight in 2015. So I graduated in 2013. So I was probably like 20. I was 24 when we started thinking about Spotlight.
Yeah.
And I was looking at like the oral care sector, particularly teeth whitening at the time, because Galway is very student focused. So there's probably 15,000 students in Galway.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a big city, but it's a big student population. And we were getting a lot of students into the clinic, and they really wanted to whiten their teeth. But the only way we could whiten their teeth is a professional teeth whitening system, which is €300.
Mm-hmm.
And that can kind of go up to maybe €450.
Yeah.
So like, it's really expensive.
And I want to say, at the time that you're talking about, when we were both 24, because we're the same age, it was very popular to get your teeth whitened.
Yeah,
like, it was
and
a big deal.
It was a big thing, and I think it was kind of the rise. It was just starting to kind of be like, I feel like it was just the rise of like Instagram and people like, you know, the selfies and like, you know, the aesthetics wasn't actually anything on the market that could actually whiten your teeth, believe it or not. And I say that to people and they say, oh well, obviously there's something on the market that could whiten your teeth. So there was nothing on the market that could whiten
your
teeth.
What about whitening toothpaste?
So like whitening toothpaste are great,
yeah,
they're brilliant, but they need to contain an active ingredient. So like hydrogen peroxide is the only active ingredient that can whiten your teeth.
Okay.
And sometimes as a dental professional, I speak as dentists as a whole, like we're aware of the active ingredients that whitens your teeth, but then what's marketed from an oral care product angle is like totally disjointed from what you're actually taught or what actually research and evidence shows. Do you know what I mean? So like that's like an example of that is like the rise of charcoal. Like charcoal single-handedly is like damaging so many people's teeth. It's actually frightening.
Oh my God.
But you won't see that straight away. You'll see that in like 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
You know? And we often talk about that. Like, you know, we get so many, we do obviously do a Q&A on our Instagram, on our Spotlight Oral Care Instagram every week.
And people often say, oh, you know, why don't you bring out a charcoal toothpaste?
I'm yeah.
Like, because charcoal is single-handedly damaging so many people's teeth.
Yeah.
You'll never get a dentist to recommend charcoal. But yet, in the last 10 years, there's been a rise of charcoal.
Yeah.
And that's actually originated from, like, face masks.
Yeah.
So some marketers saw face masks, charcoal, and they just incorporated it into the oral care. When in reality, it has no place in oral care. It's really damaging to the teeth. But that's where the disjoint is.
Yeah. So it's part of it is education as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you had this idea because you're providing this service for €350 at the time for teeth whitening, and you were like, oh my God, there has to be a cheaper way to give customers
So we, like, always a very med tech centre, so there's a very med tech history there, you know, with the likes of, like, Medtronic, Boston Scientific. So we looked at what we were providing in our clinic, and then we said, could we simulate it in a over-the-counter whitening, which was less active amount of active ingredients, so you could sell it over-the-counter, but that was still based upon the principles of what you use in practice.
Yeah.
So it's actually the same ingredients, just to a lesser amount.
Yeah.
And the thinking in teeth whitening and thinking in oral care has changed massively in the last 20 years. We used to blast our teeth with as much hydrogen peroxide as we could, you know, 20 years ago. And now we've really come around to the idea of little and often. So for example, the only way I whiten my teeth now is like the strips, but like twice or three times a week, rather than something like that's high strength, because the problem with that is permanent sensitivity and damage. Now, not with the levels of in the EU, but in the US, where you obviously we are here, like the levels of hydrogen peroxide in some of the products is frightening.
So just because you're talking about this, the Crest whitening strips, I don't know if you want to talk about this or not.
Yeah,
but
I don't get sued now.
No, right, but joking. Like, so just talking about facts, because I used to use the Spotlight, obviously, when I was at home, but I did buy the Crest ones over here, and actually not too long ago, I think it was the summer. Before that, I didn't really feel a need to whiten my teeth.
Yeah.
I was pretty happy with them. But the Crest whitening strips hadn't, like, and Spotlight, and I've used whitening strips before, mainly Spotlight, but they never made my teeth sensitive, but the Crest ones, like, hurt my teeth.
Yeah, so Crest are, you know, being totally frank, Crest strips are illegal in Europe, and they're illegal for a reason, you know, and some people are saying, oh, send me back loads of Crest strips or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, they have a level of hydrogen peroxide in them that is just too high for the teeth, you know. So what you're seeing is you're not only, there's a certain level of active ingredients, like with skincare, you're going to get a peel, but you're not going to put like 100% retinol on your face, you're going to put 0.5% retinol.
Yeah.
And it's the same with whitening. So there's that level where you don't get any more whitening, but you'll get massive amounts of permanent sensitivity, like gum ulceration. It causes gum recession. So that's when the teeth shrink. That's when the gum shrinks up around the teeth, and that's permanently shrunk up around the teeth. So that's permanently gone.
So are you saying the whitening strips, that the strength of too high of a strength is going to cause that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
How does that work?
Because if you imagine, like, a hydrogen peroxide or any active ingredient has to be controlled.
Right.
And if you put too much of, say if you put too much retinol on your skin, if you put 100% retinol,
you're gonna react.
It's going to cause an ulceration and a scarring process.
Mm-hmm.
And your gums are very gentle. It's like they're very thin, they're very sensitive, they're very delicate. So even over brushing can cause recession, but like active ingredient on a gum over a prolonged period of time, when it's too high a strength, is going to cause permanent damage. In the same way, hydrogen peroxide used in a controlled way is really safe for the teeth, and it's the number one and best way you can whiten teeth. So again, when we come back to the marketing element versus like what you see at the dentist versus what you see would be marketed to, you have all these things coming out now that's peroxide free. That's like saying, you know, it's in, you know, if you use that in another way, like peroxide is the only thing that can clinically whiten your teeth. So it's actually amazing for us as dentists that you see something that advertises peroxide free, because peroxide free isn't actually good. You know, that's actually what you need, but just in a controlled amount.
Got it. So you wanted to do that in something that somebody could buy.
And we could recognize that I knew that if we could put a hydrogen peroxide strip on the market that was controlled, that didn't cause sensitivity, that was specially designed for the sensitive person, which one in three of us have sensitive teeth, I felt like that would ring true and would resonate with the customers.
So you and your sister team up, and then you like, we need a designer, we need to design the product, we need to, you know, map out, like, how does that start?
So obviously we started with formulation. So yeah. That took a while. It probably took about 18 months to fully get right into stability tests, because obviously when you put active ingredients in products, the legislation is a lot different. Mm-hmm. So believe it or not, ironically, if you had no active ingredient in your product, you'd be actually grand to get it regulated. If you wanted to put active ingredient in your product, it's a lot stricter regulation, which in a way it should be, because mm-hmm. it's causing a reaction, it's causing an effect. So a clinical trial, you know, stability testing, all of that.
Yeah.
And then in the same way, you know, it's kind of you stumble along, like mm-hmm. no one knows how to launch a product until you launch one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we worked with a really great graphic designer in Galway, and he designed our packaging. And we obviously went through, you know, 10, 15, 20 iterations of the packaging.
Mm-hmm.
And we're constantly changing it, you mm-hmm. know, to kind of make it better, you know, make it more aesthetically pleasing. Because obviously when you're buying something, you want to buy like a gift,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want it to be visually pleasing too.
Yeah. And did you at the time feel, so you're 24 at that time.
Yeah.
So you're
24. So I was the perfect target market for that though.
Right.
Because that's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was looking for a product that I could buy.
Yeah.
For myself.
So you felt like you were kind of like almost like a test, like a guinea pig.
I was a guinea pig.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And did you feel like you knew that that was the direction of your career? Like, did you feel like, oh, if this doesn't work out, sure, I'll still be doing dentistry?
See, I was like, I still work as a dentist.
Yeah, no, I know.
You
know? Yeah.
Yeah. So like, as in, it was like an add-on, mm-hmm. you know, and it was like a lovely thing to do on the side, which was still dentistry. But I being totally frank, I never thought of it as a
career,
as a long term. Really, we developed Spotlight for our own patients, and it was actually on the back of Spotlight's success that Spotlight became Spotlight. You know, it was really something that we developed for our own patients that could be used in a clinically effective way, mm-hmm. that they, you know, wouldn't get sensitivity, and they could buy for their, you know, for their brothers and sisters or their friends or their cousins mm-hmm. or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. But then you start getting crazy distribution in Ireland into the pharmacies and...
Yeah, it was on the back of the success of it. We launched online primarily first. We just got a bit of a, you know, a bit of a kind of flow going, and then we approached pharmacies, some pharmacies approached us, and then it kind of just snowballed from there.
Were you surprised at the snowball?
I was and I wasn't. I wasn't because I knew there was no product on the market, and there still is no product on the market that contains hydrogen peroxide that's really effective, that could whiten teeth that without causing sensitivity. I was in a way that we didn't really, you know, when I look at, you know, we just launched a range of 100% recyclable toothpaste. So we're actually the world's first oral care brand that's created a range that has clinically proven active ingredients that's free of all the nasty additives in 100% recyclable packaging. And now when I think of that launch of that new range versus when we launched the strips, they're like worlds apart, you know, because we were planning that launch for 6 months coming up to it, whereas we launched the strips on a wing and a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as thought out. Looking back, it was like a perfect launch. We launched online, we got good traction, we launched in store then.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have like a launch party, or we didn't have a PR, for example, at the start.
Mm-hmm.
So was I surprised at the success of it?
Yeah,
maybe. Kind of. It was, it wasn't really thought out.
Yeah, I love your modesty. It's really like, it's just insane. Because like, I worked with you, so you would have been, when we first started like working together, and you were partnering up with Marissa's masterclass.
Yeah,
at the time.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, so you would have been super young, but that obviously would have been the start.
That was
of,
the right start, yeah. Yeah, so like, we did a few masterclasses. We did Marissa's, we did Pippa O'Connor's, we did like some gifting. And like, I always think as well, like, well, I was, you know, what I was really taken aback is the support that other Irish, you know, people would give. So like, you know, Marissa has been a massive support. Pippa O'Connor has been a massive support. You know, influencers have been a massive support on supporting Irish,
mm-hmm.
which massively helps, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. Did you ever think that, so you're in Ireland, you're doing well, it's snowballing, and you're getting on into all these stores, and the company is growing, and you're still working as a dentist.
Mm.
How do you make the decision to, okay, yeah, we're going to go into Norway, we're going to go into the UK? Is that a conscious decision?
It is a conscious decision by that stage. So we could see the effects, and we could see the
distribution pattern in Ireland, and we were looking at other markets that we could replicate it in. So obviously the UK is a very close market, Ireland, you know, somewhat similar people, you know, we could see it working kind of quite well in the UK. Norway, believe it or not, is actually very similar to Ireland. I would say it's probably more similar to Ireland than the UK. It's, you know, it's a good market, you know, they're looking for products that are effective. They understand the thought process behind it. So they are kind of targeted kind of exports that we did plan. So I suppose 6 months after launching Spotlight, we kind of sat down and we said, okay, you know, where would we want to see it going? We looked at developing the line. Obviously we've moved now from Spotlight Whitening to Spotlight Oral Care.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of being purely a whitening brand, now we're kind of more of a holistic oral care brand. But at that time we looked at kind of expanding the whitening offering,
mm-hmm.
you know, that Spotlight offered. So mm-hmm. we launched a paste, a teeth whitening pen, a mouthwash, male specific teeth whitening strips. So yeah, that was more planned then as we progressed.
Got it. And then, do you want to share your news about the US?
Yes, we're really excited. So, you know, I keep talking, so I probably should take it back, Steph. So
okay.
Just a month ago, we launched that range I was talking about. So we launched mm-hmm. 5 toothpastes, Total Health, Total Care, Sensitive, Rebuild, Gum and Whitening in 100% recyclable packaging, free of all like parabens, sulfates, DEA, triclosans, propylene glycol, but still effective. And that range, together with the teeth whitening strips, is launching into just under 1,000 Ulta stores in February.
They're taking all SKUs.
They're taking 3 pastes and still the strips.
Okay, amazing. So in 55?
925 stores.
Oh wait, 925 Ulta
yeah.
stores in the US.
I know. So it's like a bit of a baptism of fire.
Right. I mean...
yeah,
it's just so overwhelming, and I think I'm overwhelmed because I know what that means to a brand. And I know we were talking downstairs earlier that you were like, you know, everybody's so shocked.
I know. And I think it's even like in a lovely way in Ireland. Like I think when we go to the States, everyone, like, you know, Ulta is massive over here. It's the biggest beauty store in the States, I think. Whereas in Ireland, people are like, Ulta, oh, I don't think I've ever heard of it. And it's that lovely, humbling, you know, experience. I'm like, oh,
comforted.
My God, yes,
yeah,
comforted.
Like, it's not that big. It's not that
no, but
big
we're
of a
really
deal.
Excited. You know,
yeah.
I think it's our biggest expansion to date. It's probably our most exciting expansion to date. It means that we're setting up a New York office.
Mm.
We're setting up New York, you
team,
know, a
yeah.
team that we can really kind of build out and grow the US market.
Yeah.
So that's something we're really excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now your career has taken a real turn because this is a big, massive baby that needs taken care of, and now you're technically worldwide.
Yeah,
you know, like, you know, you master this partnership with Ulta, 925 stores, and you have your, you know, you have your teeth into the US market, really. Does that is are you proud of a career that you've built out of passion that it's happened?
Yeah, and you know what, I really am, because when I look, particularly with the new toothpaste range, because when as a dentist, and I know this might sound frightening is probably the best way I can describe it. As a dentist, it's frightening how little we know about the ingredients in our toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not talking about the active ingredients, because every dentist is like super knowledgeable in what ingredients we should be looking out for in our toothpaste. But what I'm talking about is the other ingredients, like the accessory ingredients in our toothpaste. So there are ingredients in your toothpaste that have actually been banned in soap.
Mm.
So for example, there's an ingredient called triclosan, which was found in like 90% of toothpaste up until about 3 months ago, that the FDA banned in soap 15 years ago due to its effects on the body. Now, your mouth is 3,000 times more absorbable than your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you imagine what you're putting into your mouth is going directly into your bloodstream. So what I always say to patients is where we fit in is that you have your mass market products that contain the clinically proven active ingredients
mm-hmm.
your dentist recommends, but they also contain all these systemic toxic additives. And these have effects on female fertility, liver function, like your endocrine. They've been known to cause asthma, you know. And then you have the other group of toothpaste that are your good for you toothpaste, which you see a lot of in the US market, not so much in the European market, but that are, you know, free of all the sulfates, parabens, DEA, but they don't contain anything clinically active.
Mm.
So that middle ground is where Spotlight Oral Care range falls in. It's
okay.
clinically active, but it's free of all the nasty additives. And that is a passion that I have, because I think as a dentist, we were very restricted on the ingredients and the toothpaste we could recommend to our patients, because
mm-hmm.
we'll always recommend a toothpaste that, say, for example, contains fluoride. But then we're limited by, we're immediately getting rid of all those good future toothpaste because none of them contain fluoride.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really where the passion project has kind of come in from.
Yeah, so it's you're truly bringing something to the market that is new and
yeah.
that is something that hasn't been done before.
Exactly, and that, you know, I think the new range of toothpaste is something I'm probably most proud of,
mm-hmm.
Because I feel like there's a fundamental need for a change in the oral care
mm-hmm.
sector. You know, if you look at oral care, it's vastly, there's been a lack of innovation in the last 15-20 years that hasn't been seen in, like, that has been seen in, say, beauty or skincare, or like we were talking about tanning. You know, they're you know, sectors that have been really revolutionized in the last 10 or 15 years. If you look at tan 15 years ago versus now, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
If you look at toothpaste 15 years ago between now and day, and I like to exclude Spotlight in that, there's been no innovation,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a real need for that. And I think that's why it's resonating so well with US retailers, because they see that there's that need.
Right. But what about the responsibility now of education to the customers? Because you're telling me this and it's making sense, and I'm going, I have to go home and try my toothpaste and buy Spotlight. But how do you plan to educate the consumer?
Yeah, so that's obviously a mammoth task,
mm.
you know, and you know, that's engaging with, you know, PR agencies, marketing agencies,
mm-hmm.
having a team here on the ground, educating from the profession out. So we've quite a good strong relationship with the dental profession, both here in the States and in Ireland and the
mm-hmm.
UK. So from educating out as well, I think there's a bit of a groundswell of support amongst the profession, which we're lucky to have. But that is a mammoth task, and that's why we have to engage with agencies that have particular specialties in this area
mm-hmm.
to guide us and
mm-hmm.
how to educate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like in one way, if I was able to sit down with every single person, like I could explain where we fit in,
mm-hmm.
but obviously, you know, that's not possible.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, we need to do that on more of a
bigger
scale.
And I'm sure that education comes with the passion, you know, it ties in together. I'm sure that's, you know, something that you're not overlooking, and you are passionate about the education portion.
Yeah,
of.
And I think that we should be educated on the ingredients we're using in our mouths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we're educated on the ingredients we're putting on our skin,
mm-hmm.
you know, and our hair. And
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I think that we all want products that are clinically effective, number one. And then we want products that are good for us systemically, so clean.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want products that are recyclable. So
yeah.
I feel like, you know, really with the new range over at Spotlight is in, they're hitting all three boxes.
Yeah.
So it's something I'm really proud to stand over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As in, you know, they're everything I would want in an oral care toothpaste.
Mm-hmm. What have you learned from this whole thing? Like on the days that you're like feeling like Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And we were like having a chat about this earlier, and I was saying, God, the one thing I don't want to come across as is like, oh, I figured it out, or like, you know, I'm like, I think it's been the most humbling experience
mm-hmm.
that we've done so far, myself and Lisa. I think that, like, you know, it's never that you never know enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're never, like, we're dentists.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, we definitely don't know enough in terms of marketing and
mm-hmm.
PR. I think you're learning constantly. I think that you can never underestimate grit and hard work
mm-hmm.
and just perseverance.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, yes, we launched, we're so excited to be launching across the US and with 925 Ulta stores. But, like, we've had many a setback, you
mm-hmm.
know, before that. And we will have many a setback coming from this. Do you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said to you earlier, you know, it just starts now. You know, like, the education, the ground, you know, getting the support from the customer, you know, engaging with, you know, PR and everything.
Yeah.
So I think the most thing I've learned is what I don't know. And I think sometimes as a dentist before this, you can be lulled into a false sense of security. You know, oh, I know what I, you know, but like
mm-hmm.
now I know what I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
I
what
love
I mean?
That. Yeah. Yeah.
And
so where do you see, so you're moving to New York.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. So like,
well, this will actually be live next year. So,
oh,
yeah.
really?
Yeah,
great.
So
hopefully I'll be here by then.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're, like I mentioned, we're setting up a New York team, and we're setting up a New York office.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, we're like, or you know, focus is on the US. You know, we want to make it a success. You know, I would hate to look back in 5 years and not have given it everything.
Everything, yeah.
You know,
even if it doesn't work out.
Even if it doesn't work out. Yeah, and touch wood. But like, even if it doesn't work out, you know, we've given it everything. We've put, you know, our feet on the ground. I think there's nothing quite like being here and, you know, hearing from the response of your PR team or your marketing team or your, you know, your team, your local and your internal spotlight team here, you know, the feedback on the ground and being able to kind of jump on a flight to Ulta and jump on a flight to whoever. Yeah, so we're really excited about that as
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, congratulations. It's huge. It's a huge deal.
Yeah, we're really excited. Yeah. So, come back to us in 6 months and see it's going. I know, I'm joking.
I know. And it's a huge thing to focus on and to kind of own this moment now that you've probably never
And you know, exactly. And what I always say is like, celebrate the successes because like, God knows there's enough like fallbacks. Do you know what
it's
I mean?
Important.
It's important for every company. Yeah. And I often say, and I'm desperate for that as well. Like sometimes, you know, we're 3 years old. So sometimes you can be so caught up in like the shrubs of it, I call it, that you don't actually like sit back and like thank the, you know, or we've an amazing team in Galway. You know, we've a team of 12 girls now, we have one man, you know, 12, you know, a team of 12 that like have put their blood, sweat and tears into it as well. And like, you know, you kind of have to congratulate, not only, you know, you need to do that as a, you know, as a founder of the company, because it gives them permission to do that as well, you know. And I think that, you know, we all work really hard, that it's nice to be able to say, okay, we've done this is great, and now okay, we you know, that's tick box, great, and now let's move forward. But like, appreciate that as well, because like, you'll beat yourself up enough about the knockbacks as
absolutely,
you know?
Yeah, we tend to kind of switch
just
on to the negative.
Okay,
before you go, do you have 3 tips for people with their teeth? Do you have any 3 pieces of advice to kind of take better care of your teeth? Because the information you were giving me about the toothpaste was like, oh my God. And I think people don't know that. So what's your like top 3?
So what I would always say is, whether, you know, whether spotlight's for you or not, but look at the ingredients in your toothpaste. So look at what you should be looking out for. So you should always be looking out for a product that contains fluoride. You know, you should avoid charcoal. You know, there are simple things. You should try and avoid an ingredient called sodium lauryl sulfate. So it's called SLS. So sodium lauryl sulfate, because it just makes the mouth a lot thinner and more inflamed. So look out for your ingredients in your toothpaste. I would say, like, try and as much as you can, like, engage with your dentist. And like, that might sound like a bit of a silly thing, but like, especially young, so you're you know, I don't know what age people are listening to this, but you know, when you're young, along with when you're old, so start engaging with your dentist in your 20s, because you might not have any issues, but like, they'll catch them before you have issues.
Yeah.
And catching things, like, people often have this misnomer that dentistry is expensive. Dentistry is expensive if you have a lot of work to get done, and dentistry is so cheap if you have no work to get done. You know, you can get a PRSI exam for free. You know, so like, and most people are entitled to it, and most people don't actually engage with it. You know, so you should go, you know. And then the other thing I would probably say is floss. So like, floss is really important. You know, and just to like end it on that.
That's it, just floss.
And I would also say, like, be confident in your smile, you know. I hate when people are like nervous about their teeth, or like, well, I, you know, sometimes obviously when I, you know, meet people, and I try not to say it, but then some of them people say, oh, you're a dentist, and I see them immediately covering their smile, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I do not go around judging everyone or looking at everyone's smile, and like, own it, you know.
That's it. Well, thank you so much. I have to say, I'm so excited for you to move over here.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I know.
I have my first friend.
Yes, we're automatically friends today, so you can expect that. But it's a huge thing, and you know that I've seen you from afar from the get. So it's so crazy for me to be sitting here and talking to you and to realize that we're exactly the same age. And it's like insane. You know, it's really, really interesting to see. And I'm just so excited to see how this rolls out.
Yeah, we're excited to see it. You know, as an Irish brand, we're hugely proud of where we've come from and where we're hopefully going. Yeah, and it's just like an exciting journey. And did I ever think, you know, when I finished dentistry, I'd be here? Absolutely not. But like, I'm loving every step of it.
Yeah, you're owning it. I'm working hard.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much.